Hey guys, John here with a quick aside. I just wanted to add for you that we have the Bare Arms Show iOS app out for iPhone and iPad. So if you're interested in getting your podcast directly from the source and you want to have a cool little panda bear on your phone there, you can download that app. Just go to barearmshow.com. You'll find a link to the app there. And you can go get downloaded onto your phone, and then you can get alerts when our shows come out, and you can pin your favorites or star your favorites in there. A lot of great functionality. We already have the Android app out. If you haven't been using that, we already have the Android app out, and now we finally have the iPhone app. So we definitely encourage you to download that and hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Bare Arms Show. And sometimes witty source for news, commentary, and interviews. We focus on efforts to protect and restore the right to keep and bear arms. Arm yourself with the information you need to protect your rights. With your hosts, John and Michael.
You're listening to the Bare Arms Show. This is Saturday, March 26th. And I'm coming to you live to drive from my humble abode in southern New Jersey. Michael Willett is unavailable to join me, and who am I? I am John Willett, your humble host, with you on this ride of Second Amendment activism, advocacy, and whatnot, through thick and thin, and all things exciting in the 2A world. As we go through tonight, we're going to be talking about something to do with principles. Something that I think is important for all of us to remember as we go through our campaign seasons and whatnot. I don't really like to get into politics in general on the show, but there are some things I like to share with everybody, considering the things that are going on and just my philosophy on how to approach politics and legislation. Well, I'm also going to be talking to you a little bit about some comments that we saw in the Idaho House debate, and then we get into national news happening across the country, the things that we think are important for 2A advocates to remember and document on the show here. So that's what we're going to have. But before we get into any of that, we're going to be going to Mike, who pre-recorded this week's Black Bag Resources Words of Wisdom. Who's watching your back? BlackBagResources.com.
This is Mike from the Bare Arms Show and Words of Wisdom for episode number 38 come from Masad Ayoub. And he said, awareness allows you to see the danger coming in time to do something about it.
Thank you, Michael, for the Black Bag Resources Words of Wisdom. Very excited to be hearing those. Always great to hear from the titans of our gun culture, especially the ones that are still alive. Now, getting into our main topic, this segment brought to you by NJ Concealment Furniture. NJ Concealment, come and find it. njconceal.co. You can find out cool stuff there. I was actually just watching some videos that they had of the different materials or the different furniture that they have available. I especially like the wall-mounted shelves that can hold a firearm. The hutches, I think, would be great to have in the corner of a dining room. I think they're beautiful. You should definitely check those out. We're going to be reaching out to them, hopefully have them at the SAFE conference this year. But anyway, segment they're sponsoring this time, I'm calling this Principles Before Personality. So, as I approach legislation and as I approach politics, I think it's always important to remember and that we go back to first principles and remember what those first principles are. Now, I'll admit I've long considered myself a member of the conservative movement. The root of my conservatism probably goes back to my social upbringing, and then as I became more educated, my conservatism probably became more oriented on policy matters and fiscal taxation type issues. But at its core is an idea that our country is an experiment in self-government. And I think it's important for us to remember that, particularly as Second Amendment advocates, because the root of the people's power to remain in control of their lives is the fact that we're in control of government. And we express that control through the ballot box, through speaking, and eventually, if for whatever reason we had to, just like how this country was founded, through force. Now, I prefer the ballot box. I prefer the soapbox. I prefer all the boxes before we get to using force. And I think it's a testament to this country that we haven't had national violence the way that some countries have had. The way France experienced their revolution was very different from what happened here in the, well, what became the United States. So for us, we want to get back to first principles. And for me, my first principle is that each of us have a right to self-governance through elected officials, and that we have a republic. And I believe that the ultimate power for that, not just symbolically, but literally, rests in the people's ability, the people's right, the pre-existing one, rooted in self-defense, to keep and bear arms. So this applies to Second Amendment, obviously, and that's why I'm talking about it here, but it also applies to other issues too. For any policy position that we espouse, we need to, you know, be able to go back and, you know, what are the principles that drive that policy issue? So, you know, whether you're talking about abortion, which is a hot topic, and I'm not going to go into abortion policy on the show, but whatever your position is on abortion, whatever your position is on any of these things, other hot topic issues, people talk about gay marriage, any of these issues, you want to get back to what is the first principle, what is the most basic concept that drives your position that. And that can be difficult to get to. I know for me, it was very difficult to get back to my first principles, even on Second Amendment things. It took me a good deal of reflection, probably over the better course of a year, that I spent reading and exploring, you know, what did I really believe? Some might say, how far did the rabbit hole go? But for me to get back to what I thought my first principles were and to be able to articulate those in a way that made any kind of sense, took a good bit of time. And it was around the time that I started blogging that I really dived into it, and I really understood why I believe the way that I do. Some of my positions changed, in that process. And I hope that, you know, as you're listening to me talk about this, that you've either been through this process and you can be like, yep, my position changed on an issue because I, you know, took that deep dive into what I believe and into what drives that belief, or that maybe, you know, you feel inspired to do so yourself. So, The most critical thing, though, I think that's important when you're doing this is to really provide yourself with an honest evaluation. And that can't be, that isn't always easy. Sometimes it's very difficult to be honest about why you believe what you believe. But once you're able to establish and you're comfortable with where you are, I believe there's a great deal of confidence that flows from that. Also, it means you're going to be able to articulate your positions on these issues, and that's vital. Being able to articulate why you believe what you believe or why you take the stand that you do is crucial, especially when you're an advocate, when you're someone who's fighting for the restoration of rights, when you're someone who's interested in protecting what Second Amendment we have left here in New Jersey, or advancing those rights in other states like West Virginia or Idaho, which we'll be talking about. So you have to be able to articulate why you believe, or why you take the stand that you do. And it comes in handy if you're having that dinner table topic, that dinner table conversation with loved ones or with friends, whether you're sparring with a person who disagrees with you on an issue, or whether you're engaged in some sort of online debate or in-person debate with an audience, being able to articulate your position, articulate why it makes sense, and if it's well-defined in your principles, it's going to be much easier to do that. Of course, it also helps to have some empirical facts on your side, whether or not those are statistics, or something you've read, or some piece of logic that's universally accepted, whatever that is, those types of things are also tools that you can use to drive persuasion. Now, the final thing I want to mention about principles is that, why it's important to know what they are and how they affect your policy positions or your advocacy is that you can't know who you stand with if you don't know what you stand for. So if you're malleable in your positions and someone comes along who you like, there's a much higher likelihood that you're going to end up supporting somebody who doesn't necessarily agree with you on the issues based on personality. And that's why I'm calling this principles before personality, is because I believe that the crux of the decisions that we make in politics, the crux of the decisions that we make when we're dealing with legislation, have to do with principles and less to do with personality. So it's dangerous to have personality drive the decisions that we make, I think. And that isn't what I would expect for a hardcore Second Amendment advocate to do. I would expect them to base their support of a candidate or their support for a bill on principles and know what drives that decision and be brutally honest with themselves about it, because that's the only way that they can be honest with everyone else. So that's what I have, a little bit of my own philosophical thinking on that issue. We're going to be going into a second kind of mini topic here. Mike had some notes about the debate on Idaho House, the Idaho House debate on SB 1389. And I'm just going to let you know what he's talking about here. SB 1389 in Idaho is the bill there to pass constitutional carry in the state of Idaho. And it's very exciting. It ended up passing just the other day. And, well, it passed before that. It was just signed by the governor the other day. But Mike had some notes watching the House debate on it. And he noted that there was continued propagation of false firearm related self-defense information. In particular, Idaho House Representative Melissa Wintrow from District 19 purported that there were no documented cases of using a firearm in self-defense. You're much more likely to have a firearm used on yourself than using it on an attacker, and there is no crime deterrent effect with the increased carrying of firearms. So, it looks like these arguments are still out there, even though there are documented cases of people using firearms for self-defense. We see them in the news all the time. In fact, I don't know, every day I see stories every day of people using firearms for self-defense. You know, there's shows that dedicate segments to the defense of gun use of the day, essentially. Just off the top of my head, NRA News' Hero of the Day is always a use of a firearm in self-defense. Rob Morris just started his own show, which is all about self-defense uses of firearms. You should definitely check that out. I'll link to that in the show notes too. He interviews people and firearms trainers he interviews, and they talk about, firearms used for self-defense, and they examine situations. Our friends over at the Polite Society podcast, which is Rob Morris's other podcast gig, with Paul Lathrop and John Richardson and Rachel Malone, amongst others. And they talk about defensive gun uses all the time, usually more than one. Actually, I think it's usually like three. So this idea that there's no documented cases of using a firearm self-defense is just preposterous. It ranks right up there with the, there's going to be blood spilling in the streets over, fights for parking spaces and all that jazz. It's just nonsense. The wild, wild west. Well, guess what? Concealed carry is reality in the vast majority of the United States. And there's only a few places that have held out and don't have concealed carry. And now what we're seeing, as we get into our next segment here, we'll mention it, which is brought to you by Justifiable Force Training, justifiableforcetraining.com. They have self-defense training for you, which is right on the topic of what we're talking about, self-defense. And they're sponsoring our Call in the Shot segment, which is our quick hit news from around the country. And we're getting right into it. So in addition to concealed carry being the law of the land in the vast majority of the United States, constitutional carry or permitless carry is on the rise. I think West Virginia made 9 states. I mean, we're almost to double digits if we're not at double digits already. If we're not at double digits already, we are almost there. And I don't know. I don't know how much more proof you could need that lawful citizens being able to bear arms, which means carry them, guys, isn't the problem. Okay. And the people who aren't going to obey the law against carrying guns, they were carrying already, so it's not gonna make anybody any less safe. But anti-gunners just have this idea, more guns equals bad. Not always. So permitless carry still gaining grounds in the states. We just had West Virginia, now we have Idaho. Who's gonna be next? We'll let you answer that, USA. All right. So finally, this is a feel good. This is a feel good piece of news right here. Tennessee declared the Barrett 50 cal as its official state firearm. This is a couple weeks ago, and we've been meaning to talk about this. We wanted to mention it on the show and document it. just because it's pretty cool that Tennessee has a state firearm and they picked the Barrett 50 cal, which, I mean, it is an iconic, and it's an iconic firearm. It's got a place not just in the hearts of many a firearm enthusiast, but, you know, also in, you know, popular culture and in movies and video games, which isn't always a bad thing. So with that, that's going to be the show for this week. And it's good to be back with you, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Bear Arms Show. If you enjoyed today's show, please head over to iTunes to rate and leave a review. This helps spread the word, and we thank you for it. For show notes or updates about new episodes, please visit www.beararmshow.com.